Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, I love movies. Is the name of the podcast that I do not often enough, according to people that I run into at the comedy clubs. But, you know, I'm trying to do it more often. We'll be taping a few more before the end of the year. And, of course, we're taping one right now. People make fun of me for saying taping a podcast. Like, they think that expression is incorrect. But that's right. That's what we're doing, in a sense, I guess. We're making a podcast. Is that a better way to say it? Sounds like we're shitting. We're gonna drop a podcast out of our butts. I hope you enjoy it. It's free on iTunes. We're coming to you from just before Comedy Death Ray at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. Normally, I like to do a joke right here in this part, but I don't really have one. Does anybody in the audience have a nice... No. So here's... This is lazy, I know, but this is a tweet that I wrote earlier today on Twitter, so maybe you haven't... Maybe you didn't read it. Or maybe you'll just enjoy what it sounds like coming out of my mouth. How come nobody's made, like, a porn with a bunch of celebrity lookalikes having sex and called it Doppelgang Bang? Why hasn't anyone done that? Somebody can make a lot of money off of that. So congratulations and good luck. Let's bring to the stage my guest for this evening. I always try to bring in the most fun and exciting people that will say yes to do this podcast. One of my guests today makes me feel like this is a real show. And I'm very excited about that guy. And then the other guest is, you know, he's all right. He's a friend of mine. Please welcome the director of Zombieland and a zombie, Ruben. I don't know why I'm calling him a zombie. He's just a big weird dude. Ruben Fleischer and Steve Agee are here, everybody. Let's hear it for them. Come on out, fellas. You can sit over there if you like. You could take the microphones out of the stands if that's more comfortable, or if you like leaning into the weirdness of it. That's Steve Agee's voice, everybody.
The zombie.
The big zombie Steve Agee. From, of course, people know you from the Sarah Silverman program, where you play that other gay guy. The other one. Brian Posehn, yes. But he's got such a hard name to say and remember that, you know, you probably both get. You're the other gay guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I was in Starbucks once, and there were people behind me, and one of them was on their cell phone talking as loud as I'm talking right now, and she's like, yeah, the guy from Sarah Silverman is in front of me. No, the other one.
No, the other one.
The other one.
Not with the mustache, with the whole.
Yeah.
That's cool. It happens. What are
it
you going to do?
Nothing. I don't care.
I get it.
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah. But it is.
Much.
but have you ever been near people talking about the Sarah Silverman program that have no idea that you're standing right there? Like, normally, when you hear the word Sarah Silverman, it means people are talking about that they're recognizing that you're that guy from
that
show.
Yeah, if you hear it when you're right there.
As when you're walking by, if you hear Sarah Silverman, you just assume. But it would be funny if you turned on them and were like, what about her?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, we're just talking about how
asshole?
We enjoy her work. Who are you? You know, that kind of thing.
I should have turned around. I'm not the other one. I have a fucking name. And
he's the other one.
Yeah. He's the other one.
Then you just got to start talking to that lady more, though, once you do that.
Yeah.
Then you have to go down that hideous road. And
I'm glad we all called to coordinate our outfits tonight, by the way.
Well, the best podcasts that I listen to, anyway, are the ones where everyone's dressed
uniforms.
Similarly. Yeah. And fortunately, we all had our blue hoodies ready to go.
The UCB podcasters.
So, Ruben, this is exciting. I don't normally have actual filmmakers on the show.
I'm not usually on shows, so this is exciting for me.
Oh, that's perfect. It's a two-way. And what do you? What should I ask you first? Zombieland, was it always Twinkies from the beginning to execution? Because, you know, in E.T., it ends up being Reese's Pieces in the movie, but in the original script, it was rat turds, I think.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I know a lot of great facts about E.T. Also, did you know that to get Drew Barrymore to laugh in the kitchen scene, Drew Barrymore, like, just during the take, reached under the table and tickled her vagina? Did you know that?
Are you serious,
That's
dude?
A true... Yeah, that's true. He was trying to...
Fucking...
He meant to tickle her feet, but he missed.
Oh, shit. That's fucking crazy.
So... I shouldn't be saying such horrible things about Mr. Spielberg, because he's probably giving you a call, right? He's a fan.
I met him the other day, actually.
Bam! I knew it! I knew it! You're in the inner circle!
Yeah.
Can't believe you're here.
He hadn't seen the movie, but he heard a lot of good things.
He hadn't seen the movie?
No, he hadn't seen it.
But he wanted to meet with you. I want to meet with people that maybe did something.
No, I met with somebody else, but he just wanted to say hello.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to come by and say I haven't seen your movie, but...
Yeah. I hear it's really good.
Like, he said that to the lady who directed The Proposal when she came by. I don't know, that's a weird example. But, because I just saw it on a plane, and it's directed by some lady I'd never heard of before. Anne Fletcher? Did she do anything else?
I don't even know that name.
She burst onto the public scene with The Proposal, which wasn't bad on a plane, The Proposal.
Who's in that?
I've been saying that on every podcast lately. Whatever shit movie I just saw. Not bad on a plane.
You're getting old.
Now, Zombieland's not going to be on planes. Unless it's like a special...
I would hope
it's on
planes.
You get your own unit at your seat. Well, they're not going to just show it on the regular. Yeah.
Because that horrible plane crash scene.
There's too much stuff they'd have to trim out.
I think they'll probably put it on planes. I hope they do, at least. We'll see.
Look at you.
Yeah. But as far as to answer your original question as to the Twinkies of it all, we were worried that it would have to be like Little Debbie's or something else that Hostess would shut us down. Yeah, but and we were prepared for that.
Or a made up snack.
Fake snack.
That's always the worst.
Yeah, but it was Twinkies from the beginning and Twinkies till the end.
Thank God it remained Twinkies. Awesome. And did you ever get high with Woody Harrelson?
I had a lot of opportunities to get high with Woody Harrelson.
Well, that's all I really wanted to know. I don't need to know whether you actually did. How about Abigail Breslin? Was she
choking
up a lot? She got
high all the time.
Oh, my God. Are you guys serious?
Yeah.
I'm outing all the big stoners.
Fuck, man.
All the big stoners in Hollywood. I've got a list. Abigail Breslin, Dakota Fanning, Lip Nicky.
It took me a while to.
Yeah, you like, could probably go around convincing people you're Jonathan Lipnicki.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, you might know me from when I was a kid actor.
Yeah.
I'm Jonathan Lipnicki. Human head weighs 10 pounds. Yeah. Boom.
Jerry Maguire. Wait, was that Jonathan Lipnicki? What the fuck was John? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just ask the audience a quick question. How on board are you with me discussing a Zombieland plot twist? Like, have you all
spoilers?
Seen it? Or would some of you be all mad about it? You'd be mad about it? It's like that's the thing now. People will wait for DVD or whatever and still not want the plot ruined. And it's like, come on. Like Leonard Maltin himself, let me just quote from him so that we can. He's a professional critic, and now there's a Leonard Maltin app.
Whoa,
on the iPhone now. Yeah, so I don't have to carry that book around anymore. I could just fucking jump on the app and see what's what. And he puts it under current picks. He's got Zombieland. And then it's just got like a typical Leonard Maltin-sized review. And he says, he's naming off the cast, you know, that says they're all good or whatever. And then he goes, in an amusing cameo, so-and-so, that's what I want to reveal. And then he says, oh, he doesn't say anything more about that. But he gives away the surprise cameo in the middle of the movie. How do you feel about it, Ruben?
Originally, I was really mad about it. Like, a lot of reviews included the name of the cameo. And I thought they were spoiling it for people. But I felt like after 2 weeks or something, it doesn't really matter anymore because it's out there pretty broadly.
2 weeks, you guys. That's the official Ruben Fleischer cutoff. If you haven't seen Zombieland in 2 weeks, then you deserve to know that Bill Murray.
Oh, my God.
I got it real quick.
It is a great twist in the movie.
Before we get it, I know I'm going to throw it. You just like laid the bomb, and now I'm going to just backtrack a bit.
Yeah.
But I went and did a Q&A at Leonard Maltin's film school class at USC.
Yeah.
And this is what he said after the movie. He said, well, the audience really seemed to like it.
Nice. What does that mean? Nice. He is kind of backhanded compliment through this whole review. He's like, my favorite part is when he says, it's not bad. Like, you know, you might as well have just written shrug.
What'd
you think
douche.
Of the movie? Well, you know, it happened.
I watched it.
Yeah. No, but he's a little nicer than that. He goes, as escapism goes these days, it's not bad. Like, he says it was a fun movie. And he enjoyed
it was fucking
it.
Awesome, Ruben. It was
well, that's what... See, that he doesn't say that enough, you know? Maltin should just come right out. When something's fucking awesome,
he definitely
just
didn't...
say, it is fucking awesome. I give it, on a scale of 1 to 4, I give it fucking awesome. That's what he should do, but... We'll go back to the Leonard Maltin a little later. But he lists 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names he lists at the bottom as cast, which is pretty funny right there because it's essentially four characters in the movie and then a surprise appearance or two.
Yeah, I don't think I could name all nine
who's
people.
Who's the very last name?
The last name is Derek Graff. Do you know what he played?
He was the clown.
Oh, yeah. The clown got like special compensation for some reason. Yeah. Did you have to do like an extra search for to cast the
he's
clown?
He's like this. He's from L.A.
Is
he was actually
he
was a lineman for USC, and his dad is a huge stunt coordinator who does like all the football movies. And,
oh, okay.
Derek's we just want a really really big guy, and Derek was like 6'8", I don't know, 300 pounds or something.
Okay, that was a good thing you said 6'8". Because he comes in at Demir 6'5", 7", what, 7, really? Yeah, I see you're 1 inch away from
Derek Graff.
Playing a great role and getting on Leonard Maltin.
Fuck him, man.
That guy. And then the next name they list is Mike White, who who has a cameo in the film as the guy that's not Bill Murray. But what I want to say about Bill Murray, and I'll try to say it without giving away what happens with the whole Bill Murray thing, is just how often have people expressed to you that cameo was delightful, but then also kind of made me sad for like the rest of the movie.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people have expressed that.
Okay, good. Yeah. So most people get over it.
Yeah, but you were really bummed that he.
I was really like,
happened to him.
I didn't think I didn't think some of the characters reacted as strongly as they should have.
That's interesting. We were actually really, really concerned about that. But my whole argument was, if we just make it a joke and like have it be really quick and have it be light, that there wouldn't be repercussions and it would just be this surreal kind of interlude. But you're apparently very sensitive when it comes to Bill Murray.
Well, I think I'm as into Bill Murray as Woody Harrelson's character was. Like,
right.
I mean, that's if I was going through Beverly Hills and wanted to pick like a house to go check out, I would that would certainly be it would either be Bill Murray or
Can I tell the story of
Dustin Diamond's house?
Fuck.
Yes, please do tell us.
Because it's kind of interesting how he ended up being in the movie. And it was originally written for Swayze. And that was like five years ago.
The rapper Swayze?
Yeah, Swayze, yeah. five years ago.
Or do we just say Swayze now that Patrick Swayze's left us? It's just like, it was Swayze.
Yeah.
He was going to do it, but then...
Well, he wasn't necessarily going to do it, but it was scripted for him. And they had the funniest version where Columbus, Jesse Eisenberg's character, is like going through the mansion. He finds like a pottery wheel. He goes and sits at the pottery wheel. But the original version, the celebrity cameo, was like a zombie. So these like two arms kind of come around him and hug him from behind. He looks over his shoulder, sees zombie Patrick Swayze, freaks out. And then there's like a big crazy battle with like various references to like, you know, Road, like some of the finer works. And then at the end, Woody's character comes in and says, "You and me, Swayze." And then Swayze zombie charges Woody and leaps at him. And then Woody catches him in midair and does
holds him up like Dirty Dancing
from Dirty Dancing. Nice. And then throws him into a wall, man. Smashes his head, and says, "Nobody puts baby in a corner." And it was like the funniest version ever. And when they originally wrote it, we were just like, "Oh, it sucks that Swayze got pancreatic cancer, because we can never do anything better than that. It's so funny." But it would be in bad taste to include him as a zombie version of himself, given situation.
You mean it would have been in bad taste to ask him, or because I think he was pretty like
to ask him, and I thought actually he would be kind of psyched if his final farewell was like as a zombie version of himself. But marketing people at the studio didn't see
you
it
know
the same
that
way.
Guy's in a coffin somewhere right now trying to scratch his way out. Like that guy's a fighter.
Yeah, but. So then we wrote versions for lots of other celebrities like Sylvester Stallone and Steven Seagal and various other people, and they all said no and were unavailable. And and Woody got Matthew McConaughey to agree to do it as like a favor. But I think when McConaughey agreed to do it, he didn't know what he was agreeing to, that he was going to play a zombie version of himself. I mean, when he read the draft and he was like shirtless the whole time and bongos were strewn about and there was an Airstream trailer in the front yard, he just wasn't on board with it. And so, and this was like 2 weeks before we had to shoot. And so we were like really worried about
2 weeks.
Yeah, before we had already got the location. I mean, it was really hard to get a celebrity to agree to do it in the first place. And so we were so pleased that we got McConaughey. So he dropped out. And then we like wrote a draft for Van Damme, who passed. We wrote a draft for Mark Hamill, who passed. And we were like, fuck, if we can't get Mark Hamill, like we're like in big trouble here.
Yeah, that guy at least pretends to have a sense of humor about his career.
But yeah, he didn't want to make fun of the Star Wars stuff or something. I was like, well, what else is there? We actually wrote a draft for Bubby and Peepaw, this old Jewish couple that was like our backup plan if we couldn't get a celebrity. Like they go there, it's old Jewish couple in Beverly Hills. Bubby and Peepaw. We actually cast two stump people who are like ready to come in, be a part of the movie. They flew in from Florida to be
Florida.
We like outfitted them, designed their zombie makeup, everything, just in case we couldn't get anyone. So like 3 or 4 days before we actually had a shoot, which was on the Thursday. So I think like on a Tuesday, Woody's like, he was like, "I don't know about this Bubby and Peepaw," and we're like, "Well, you know, we've tried everyone." Mark Hamill said, "No, there's nothing left to do." And he's like, "Well, let me make a call." And so he called Bill Murray like 2 days before we had a shoot, or 3 days before we had a shoot. I was like, "Bill, you're having a lot of fun down here in Atlanta. You should come down and be in the movie." And like Bill was like 100% on board, but he was like, "If I'm going to come there, like I need to have some lines. I'm not just going to be a zombie in a fight. You could get anybody to do that. Like if I'm going to come, I want to have lines." And so we realized like in order to actually do that, he can't be a zombie. And so we figured out the whole idea of himself playing a zombie and everything else. And in the end,
in 4 days.
2 days, really. Oh, it was like he was like, I remember Woody. It was on set when we were shooting the scene on that like abandoned highway or whatever, when Woody and Jesse first meet, And Woody had like a BlackBerry on speakerphone. I was like, all right, Bill, well, we'll see you Thursday. And he hung up the phone. And we were like all cheered. Like it was like incredible. Like I got to hear Bill Murray's voice through the phone. Like I was like so excited. And so then he's like notoriously unreliable, I guess, or something. Like a lot of times he'll say he'll be places and then not, or you know. So we were like so anxious.
He still had Chubby and Peepaw come out.
Yeah, we were ready to go. But then on so then on Thursday morning,
Chubby and Weewalk, we're gonna come by.
So then Thursday morning, Bill Murray like walked up on set, and it was like the greatest day of my life. I just couldn't believe like it was my life that I was living. That like first of all making a movie. Bill Murray like walks on his set, and then he was just like the coolest dude you could ever hope to.
Yeah, because like, he's never made fun of his own previous stuff as extensively as he does in that.
And I kind of think he was like in for a penny, in for a pound. Like if I'm going to do this, like let's do this. And so he was like coming up with all the ideas. Like Emma, for some reason, wasn't familiar with the Annie Potts character, and like Bill was telling her exactly how to like say the lines exactly like Annie Potts, and like just like really like so invested in it. And
can't
like,
believe anybody would let the Annie Potts character slip through their memory of Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
but
yeah, so he was just like super on board and really like cool to me. Like I'd go to give him like you know direction or whatever. And he'd be like, "What now, first timer?" Or like,
"Wow!"
Or like, "What do you got, junior?" Like he just like really was cool and had fun and was.
But he didn't take advantage of being like the big star coming.
Well, I mean, I mean, there's no two ways about it. But like, he had like running jokes with the sound department like 3 hours in. Like he just like he just loves being on set. Like he's just the raddest guy there is. Like he's so cool. He and Woody. He got there Thursday, 11 o'clock in the morning, shot all day. He and Woody were out till 4 o'clock in the morning that night. He was there at 6, shot through that day, slept at lunch. Then we shot out, you know.
Well, he didn't have to worry about looking good.
Finished the day, and then we, like, stayed at that mansion, and, like, we're drinking margaritas till, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, he just likes to have fun. He's really, like, down to party.
Well, that's why on some of those other projects he doesn't show up. Because he's busy having fun. So no, that's awesome. You had the right combination.
The coolest guy in the world. Like so, I mean, it took the movie to a whole different level, and I feel like it was, you know,
I'd
the
know,
day of my life.
Yeah, I would want to know who Woody was going to call next. You know, because he's got a few other names in his Rolodex. Did he tell you?
Supposedly Dustin Hoffman.
That would have been funny, but not in a way that people would enjoy. Well, you know what I mean? It'd be hard to get, like, Woody's character wouldn't be excited about Dustin Hoffman and et cetera, et cetera. It's like a House of Cards.
Yeah.
Would fall apart with Dustin Hoffman.
But
the inevitable Rain Man joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they beat you to it with the Rain Man humor in what do you call it? The Hangover. They had Rain Man parody for who knows why. What? It was weird, wasn't it? Finally, somebody did a Rain Man parody. All right, so let's see how we're doing on time. Oh, we're doing pretty good on time. So, really quickly, if you have, you know, your movie's been out for a month now, and you've seen other movies, you know, come out and go up against it, and what have you seen any of these other movies of late that you're competing with?
Not too many. I like the weekend after ours was Couples Retreat, which I didn't see. I saw Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah,
and liked it. And
people seem to fall, like, I haven't seen it yet, but people seem to fall one way or the other on it. Like, they love it, or they're just like,
I was somewhere
was
in the middle,
about?
Actually, to contradict that. I was like, it's the most beautiful movie I've ever seen, but I wish it was a short film.
short as in because it was boring, or just it was, not enough story to tell for that long?
Maybe, perhaps, yeah. but I love the movie at the same time. So, but I didn't see Paranormal Activity, or I missed a lot of them. But I've seen...
This Is It? Are you going to see This Is It?
I really wanted to see This Is It, but I have not seen
it. I just think it'll be fun to buy a ticket to This Is It, because you can just be so enthusiastic about it. Or you could be like, you know, This Is It.
This Is It? Oh, that's
can I
great.
Have one for This Is It?
Yeah. And then afterward, that was it. That was it.
Yeah, go up to the box office.
That was it.
Banging on the window. They don't give the ticket staff at the movies enough of a hassle when the movie's bad.
No.
You don't ever really go right to them and complain.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve? Have you seen any?
I'm glad you asked. I have some great anecdotes from this web series I've been working on. I can't follow. Zombieland's my favorite film of the year.
Come on.
Ruben and I used to work together. I've known Ruben for a long time.
Steve and I worked together on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
And I shot him as a big baby, wearing a bonnet and diapers.
Yeah.
And a clown. I have a picture of you.
What was Steve
wearing?
He's
a clown, and you still didn't cast me as the clown in your fucking movie. You basically had an audition tape from me.
Yeah. Oh,
holy shit.
You weren't large and clown-like enough. That's what he was looking for. They wanted a stuntman, though.
What I was just about to say. I got so caught up on the stuntman part of it, I didn't think to call you. But
okay, yeah. Zombieland 2.
Yeah,
because you're kind of the opposite of a stuntman.
I am the opposite of a
stuntman. Yeah, I saw you one day. You had to kneel on one knee for more than a minute, and you lost your mind.
I was once shooting a short film with some friends who were all stuntmen, and I had to do this thing where I faked like I was jumping out of a moving car. So we shot me about to jump out of the car, and then we did a cutaway of me hitting the ground and rolling. And when I did the part where I just gently fall to the ground and roll, I broke a rib. Fucking broke a rib, basically laying down on the cement. Oh, this. So I'm the opposite of a stuntman.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. How do you think Jesse Eisenberg is going to finish off the amusement park trilogy? Because it would be so great if he made a third movie.
Adventureland.
You know, one was a coming age drama, one was a zombie movie. Now, if he could find a third reason to be in an amusement park for an entire
film. In space.
Film. Amusement park in space?
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. What do you have, so you must have you must be looking at scripts and trying to decide what you're going to make next.
Yeah.
So you don't have anything specific you can share with us?
I wish, but not yet.
Well, no news is good news.
Yeah.
It
really.
How do you?
It really. These
people say, I don't know. That you don't have another project lined up is good news, apparently. Yeah. When I spin.
Congratulations.
No, there's a couple of things that I'm working on, but nothing real. But I saw 2012. That was one thing that I got to see, and I it blew my mind. I mean, again, it's a little too long, but but it's
had to see.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's so outrageous.
No, it's incredible. It's really good. You're on the edge of your seat the whole time, and what are they going to blow up next? He outruns an earthquake.
I know. I've seen
he
that.
He outruns a volcano.
He outruns earthquake.
He outruns so
he
many natural
disasters. Jumps into the air.
Disasters.
And
yeah. Like it's
flaps his arms.
It's really good, though. I promise you.
They don't say that enough for earthquake preparedness. Why not just jump up and grab a tree branch and just hang there until it's over?
Or just drive as fast as you can.
How can the ground hurt you if you're not on it? So what about, my problem with that movie, not having seen it and only having seen the trailer, is that I don't like when the whole world is falling apart and yet they think we only care about this one, what was the last one
called? But it's John Cusack.
Yeah, but it is John Cusack. That's the trick. It was what's his name?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, when it was Gyllenhaal, I could give a shit about him and him and that frozen library he was in or whatever the hell was going on. Like the rest of the world was dying, you know. So it's kind of a perspective thing. But you saying this one is so spectacular.
Yeah, no, this is the people aren't really the part that you care about. It's I want to see that thing fall again, or the ground open up. It's really just the effects are beyond anything you've ever seen before. And if you see a big theater and it's really loud, it's pretty overwhelming.
But does an amusement park ride ever smash into somebody and throw them through the air?
I can't say that that
happens. I'm going to see Zombieland again. Or you know what I'm going to do? I'll buy a ticket to Zombieland and sneak into 2012.
There you go. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's all do that.
Can I brag?
Please.
Zombieland's the highest grossing zombie movie of all time.
Booyah! Yeah. You did it.
Yeah. And that's if you don't include I Am
and
Legend.
And that's probably by a 20 or 30 million, right? Like,
Maybe.
You meet it, but you beat it by a large margin.
No, I don't know. Dawn of the Dead, I think, was 59. We're at like
the remake was 59?
Yeah, I think we're at 73 or 4 or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. When it's all said and done, you'll make it
13 going on 30.
20 million. They did have that scene where they all dance like Thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a zombie movie. I like when Steve's looks is getting laughs from the audience. That's always fun for the podcast listeners. So I was talking to these guys backstage about the Leonard Maltin game, and they're both afraid of it. Steve has played it before.
I played it, and I was horrible.
You didn't do too well. Who are you up against?
Dana.
Oh, Dana Gould.
Oh, yeah, that's
Dana Gould. He got one right with just based on the clue.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even need he said no names.
And it was political movies.
And then he got
movies.
It right. Yeah, and it was political movies. So you got.
And then he got. He said political movies, and he got. They knew the movie.
Yeah.
I think so.
All the kids.
Well, there was a little bit more of a clue than that. Right. The clue was, I said, "This is supposed to be a comedy, or this was billed as a comedy." That was the clue. And Dana and I, our sensibilities are close enough, I think, that it just immediately jumped into his head.
It was
Dave.
Dave, yeah.
Yeah, that Kevin Kline movie.
Right.
It's a good movie, but it's not funny. You know, it's not like you're not like slapping your knees ever. And
I think and so both that clue Steve and I are going to be embarrassed, I think, is what's going to happen.
I'm already embarrassed. I just broke a rib saying that.
But the extra, not to put any extra pressure on you guys, but tonight I'd like to do something different. There's a benefit coming up here in Los Angeles on Friday, November the 20th, that if you can go, I encourage anyone listening to this podcast to buy tickets. It's a benefit called Laughs for Bald Brian. And I don't know if you guys listened to the Adam Carolla show when he was on the air, but this guy Bald Brian was on there, and he has like his sidekick, and he did all the sound effects and stuff. And I went on the show a few times when they were both there and played a game called TiVo Trivia, and Brian was really good at it, and so it was fun to go on and try and beat him at that game. But that gentleman, is going through a cancer situation, Bald Brian. It's weird to me to keep calling him Bald Brian and then saying, and he has cancer. But he does. So so they're trying to raise money for his, he's doing well. And it looks like he could get through this thing. So it's at the Wilshire Ebell Theater in Los Angeles, 7 o'clock Friday, November 20th. Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel, Dr. Drew Pinsky. I don't know what his act is going to be like. He's going to just go up on stage and go, any sex addicts in the audience? And then... which that show is amazing, this sex rehab thing. I can't get enough of it. But then Greg Fitzsimmons, Dana Gould, the aforementioned, Larry Miller, Joel McHale from The Soup, all of those people, and then probably more, are going to be performing in one show, and you can get tickets by going to Laughs for Bald Brian. Brian's spelled with a Y. Laughsforbaldbrian.com. You can get tickets. But I thought for the Leonard Maltin game tonight, it would be fun to give away a couple of tickets. So keeping in mind it's November 20th and all those names that I just said, raise your hand if you can go and would want to win two tickets. Okay, that gentleman right there and that dude right there. The two of you come sit up here. Let's get you. I taped these two seats off.
Good they taped those off. Yeah.
Thank God we saved,
you taped those
thank God
off.
We saved these seats.
That was a close call.
For you two guys. So come on up here. Welcome. We've got, we're doing good on time. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Ian.
All right. And what's your name?
David.
All right. And Ian, between the possibly one of the greatest filmmakers of our time and a guy who
breaks his ribs laying down,
who wasn't fat and ugly enough to play a dead clown.
Well, that sounds good.
Who do you want?
I like not being fat enough to play a clown.
Who do you want? Yeah, that was a compliment. Who do you want to represent you in the Leonard Maltin game tonight?
I'll go with Ruben.
That's a mistake.
All right, he's going with Ruben.
I'll prove you
anybody,
wrong.
But as has been proven in the past by this game, anybody can win, especially when both people are bad at it. Okay, and then who would you like to play for you?
You.
Oh, he wants me to play
bitch.
For him. Steve, you're out.
I'm going to throw the game. I'm throwing the game.
I'm going to do pretty good because I picked all the movies. Buzz in right away. I can name it no names. All right. So you're Ian is Ruben's. Ruben's playing for Ian. And what's your name again?
David.
And Steve is playing for David.
Okay.
All right. And I have it right here on my iPhone app. So now I don't even have to. I don't even have to flip through that stupid book anymore. I mean, it was a good book, but an app is perfect for my needs. I made a list. These are all movies that have dead people in them. A character dies, or a character is dead. Or
an actor is dead now?
No.
Okay.
There's no Patrick Swayze movies. I thought about that, though, like doing Roadhouse or something. But no, I don't want to trick you guys like that. These are all movies where a character in the movie is a dead person.
Oh, boy.
And it's, none of them are zombie films, but they're inspired by...
Oh, I get it.
You get it now.
Yeah.
Your
like, would
movie,
Stand By Me be one? Like, because the dead brother or something like that? Like, I don't,
yeah, that could be one.
Okay.
It's not.
All right.
Thank God.
What if he just won the whole game with pre-guesses?
I'm just trying to...
Just rattles off a few movies. Could it be Ghost? Yes, yeah. Okay, that's one.
Oh, Ghost. Okay, Ghost. That's, I get it. Yeah.
All right, so let's start with Ruben. This movie came out in 1999. And Leonard Maltin gave it 3.5 stars.
Out of?
4.
Okay.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know how many.
And he says it's exceptional and original. That'll be your clue. It's exceptional and original. From 1999, features a dead person. And you've got 10 names to choose from. So you can start the bidding at 10 names, or you can go lower if you want. How many names do you think you can get it in? Ruben Fleischer.
I'll try director of Zombie. 6 names.
He can do it in 6 names, Steve Agee, co-star of the Sarah
I can
Silver
do it
program.
In 5.
He can do it in 5.
I think I know what this movie is, though.
You think you do?
Yeah, well, so
you
I guess could, I'll say 4.
You could leap all the way to 0 if you think you know.
Name
it.
That movie.
Oh, you're giving him 4
I
names.
I can't name it in 4.
All right, here we go. Ian's excited.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Sam Robards, Scott Bakula, Allison Janney, Peter Gallagher. I can only
I don't
think
one I know
movie
what
that
it
has
is
those
anymore.
4 people in it. You thought you knew
I,
it from
I
the
clue?
I
thought it was a Sixth Sense, but just off the 99 of it all.
Exceptional and original? Yeah, I could give that. I'd give
so
that to Sixth
One more
Sense
time on the names. I apologize
movie.
To be redundant, but what are the
it's
names
right.
again?
Sam Robards. You were just hoping to hear...
Bruce Willis. Yeah, that's all I...
No,
like,
but he's the
Bruce
lead,
Willis!
So you wouldn't
yeah.
hear that. It's
no,
the worst
okay,
names.
Okay, okay,
not
okay.
the worst names.
Got it.
The lesser names, the Allison scumbags.
Jenny, Peter Gallagher.
The dregs.
Oh,
the lowly Sam Robards.
I think I know what it is.
The miscreant Scott Bakula. The disgusting Allison Janney. The horrifying pervert Peter Gallagher.
I don't know the answer to
You don't
to this
know
question.
The answer to that. Steve, can you steal it?
Should I just say it if I think I know it, or should I?
You win the point
more?
Either way.
Oh, is it While You Were Sleeping?
No, it isn't!
Peter
exceptional
the
and
only.
Original.
That is exceptional.
And Peter Gallagher
and
was like higher build in that movie.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
This also.
Well, we still get the point, though.
You get the point.
Yeah.
You
out,
and David
out,
get
what
the
are we
point.
Playing to?
Huh? Best 2 out of 3.
Oh, okay.
So you got to get it on yeah. this next one.
You can do it. I'm trying.
The other
but
names.
If you know it, shout it out.
But just to finish off this
We're
first
team.
One.
This is a team effort.
Do you, no, you can't do that.
What?
You sit there quietly, Ian and David. The other names were Chris Cooper, Mina Suvari, Wes Bentley, Thor Birch, Annette Bening, and
oh,
Kevin
American
Spacey.
Beauty.
Oh, now he knows it.
Shit.
Who died in there?
People always say it like, oh, yes, I should have.
Kevin Spacey.
But Kevin Spacey's dead from the beginning.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he narrates the whole thing from the old grave.
Never saw it.
Which, did ever bother you that you were saying at the beginning of Zombieland that Jesse lives long enough to tell this whole story?
That was a conversation.
I bet it was. Everything's a conversation, right? Okay, here we go. Let me delete that. Goodbye, American Beauty. Fucking overrated piece of shit. No, it's good. Go back and watch it. You'll love it. Okay, here we go. I do love the pot-smoking scenes in that movie, like when he's smoking
lifting
with Wes Bentley.
Lifting weights and...
No, not that. I mean...
You love lifting weights and
I mean, no,
high.
when he first meets him and they're smoking out back
oh, yeah,
at
yeah.
that party, I like that
That's
part.
Cool.
And they're talking about Reanimator. All right, this is from... What year is this from? This is from 1991.
Mm.
and a character in it is dead. And this is another great Leonard Maltinism. He says, it's hard to dislike. Yeah, go in there and fight it.
Try
to hate this movie. And I said it's from 1991, and it's on you. You started off the bidding.
How many names?
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 names.
5.
So that's 5 for the
10
bottom.
Names, actually. 10 names.
I'll stay with 5.
I will say this is yours to win.
Okay. Oh, shit, Steve. Okay, you get 5 names. From Shit. This movie from 1991.
I've never seen a movie before 1992. I just want to preface that.
Thank God for cable and DVD.
Yeah, yep.
You could have caught up with it. Ethan Embry.
Okay.
Believe it or not, is in this movie. I cannot remember him being in this movie. I've seen this movie several times, and I can't remember him being in it. So I'm going to have to double check that. Peter Shuck. I don't know who that is. Lillian Layman. No idea.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
George D. Wallace was in this. I don't think that's the black comedian George Wallace. I think that's some other guy that got stuck
People
with the
are
same
stupid.
Name.
People say stupid things.
That's it. Every 10 yeah. o'clock every night at the Flamingo in yeah. Vegas. Then, but you know what I got to say about him, that George Wallace? He was nice to my parents once, so they love him. They're like always, how's your friend George Wallace? I don't know
your
the man.
Friend?
I don't know the man. We were on a show once together, and then he said hi to you. Okay, here we go. Buck Henry is the fifth name. Buck Henry from 1991. And what's his name? Yeah, it's got a dead person in it. And hard to dislike. Was there anything you saw with Buck Henry in it that was hard to dislike?
Not that I can remember from the... I'll just take a guess because it has a dead person. Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Why would... I know Buck Henry's been in some shitty movies,
yeah.
but why would he be in Weekend at Bernie's 2?
Well, it's a small part. It's number 5.
Now, was Bernie dead? I get confused about
right?
that. I think he was passed out. Or is he dead?
No, he's dead, dude.
He's flat out dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say The Player.
Oh, The Player. That's a good guess. Who's dead in The Player?
The writer.
There's a murder in it.
Right.
Partway through.
Right.
So, good guess.
But wrong.
Okay, let me read the rest of the names so that anybody else can get excited about it. So, it's 1-1. It's tied up, David and I.
This is
this is exciting. Lee Grant, Rip Torn, Meryl Streep, Albert Brooks.
Defending Your Life.
The great Defending,
Defending
Your Life.
Your Life. Fuck.
Which Len Walton only gives 3 stars.
I don't remember Buck
Henry. And says hard to dislike. Like, they really strong-armed him into enjoying himself. God damn it, I was really trying to just sit there and not be happy.
It's
fucking
so hard. It's like it's older than 91, doesn't it?
It's so hard.
91's a pretty long time ago.
I guess.
Right?
I guess I'm just old.
19 years? Okay. Next up. This is going to be the tiebreaker. I got to pick a good one. All right, so we're going to start with Ruben. This is from the year 2008. Yeah, this is current shit, y'all.
Final Destination.
And then, what else can I tell you about it? It's got a dead person in it. And he calls it funny and heartfelt. Yeah.
How many names?
There were no heartfelt movies in 2008.
9 names, starting with Ruben Fleischer.
I'll go with 9.
He's taken all 9 names.
Well, then I'll just take 8.
8 names.
Because
you
I
might
feel like
get
this is really the between the two of us. It's like who just wants to
Whoever's
lose.
Whoever's stuck having
yeah.
a guess is
yeah,
going to lose.
Yeah, it's
going to
lose. That's what's going to happen. So at what point is our pride? What'd you say?
8.
He
7.
Said the full 8. You're going to take 8 out of 9. You're going to take 7 out of 9. Steve, do you want to take 6 out of 9?
I'll take 6.
Which was a character on a Star Trek show, right?
I have such 9. A lack of confidence in my ability to win this game.
I honestly think you could win. David. I think that you could win by making him guess with 6.
That's
names.
What I'm thinking too.
Really?
I have a good feeling. I have a good feeling he's not going to come up with it.
Okay. Well, I hate to play.
I also
this,
didn't
like,
see any
kinda way of...
after 2007. Very small window.
All right. I apologize. I wish I was better at this one. Steve, please steal right, this six. Victory.
Six? Right. You're going to name it in six?
So it was last year. Okay.
Here we go. Brian D'Arcy James.
Okay.
Played Shrek on Broadway. A big, giant, ugly part you didn't get.
Yeah.
He knows it. Your partner, I mean, Ruben's partner knows it.
You know the...
He knows it already.
I All wish right. I would done it now and then.
Alan Ruck, who of course was from Ferris Bueller. Asif Mandvi.
Oh man, this is not looking good.
No, you know Asif.
Alan Ruck is all I have to go on right now.
Dana Ivey. She's always like, you know, thin, mean lady and everything. She's always like mean about everything. She's like works at banks all the time. And then Kristen Wiig was in this movie.
Kristen
Those
Wiig,
are the five names.
I said six.
The next. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, Billy Campbell. That didn't help, did it?
No.
You couldn't have gone out with some dignity. You had to beg for one more name.
I think I might know.
The last three names are really the ones that would put you over the top. Kristen Wiig, I'm afraid.
I can only think of...
Nicely played, Fleischer.
Well, it's not done yet. Steve could come through with the buzzer beater.
I can only think of one Kristen Wiig movie from last year.
Well, then say it.
Adventureland.
No.
Ghost Town.
Ghost Town. Yeah, it's Ghost Town.
Shit.
The last three names are Greg Kinnear, Taya Leone, and Ricky Gervais. But
It would have taken Ricky.
That movie should have done better at the box office. I think. I like that movie.
And even then,
Leonard says they don't make them like this anymore. Like he's full of these fucking expressions. That are just like, what are you saying? Is that good or bad that they don't make those anymore? Well, did they stop because it sucked? Or does modern filmmaking suck? Make up your mind. All right. Well, thank you so much for playing the game, gentlemen.
Congratulations
our winner
on your victory.
Is,
good job.
Ira, Ian. And our runner-up, though, gets an exciting runner-up prize. David, you get to decide who I'm going to call a shithead at the end of tonight's podcast.
Man. What the?
But it could be people in the audience.
Could
too.
Be anybody. Ricky Gervais, really? Okay, he wants me to call Ricky Gervais a shithead.
I don't agree.
I don't agree that he's a shithead, but I will do it. Thanks again to my guests, Ruben Fleischer and Steve Agee.
Thank you very much,
longtime friends.
Thank you.
Zombieland, co-workers. Go see it. Go see Zombieland.
Now that we've ruined
best movie
it for
of the year.
You.
Hopefully, we didn't ruin it.
Give
for
away
you.
The cameo.
Do you have anything you want to plug, Steve? You got any personal appearances
nope.
coming up? How come you're not
season
in
season three starting February of 2010?
February 2010, season three, Sarah Silverman program.
Yeah, so...
and you'll be in the audience at the laughsforbaldbrian.com,
I'll be
right?
there, yeah.
And my plugs are Benson Interruptions coming up on Monday, November 16th in Los Angeles at Largo. You can also see me at Hyenas in Dallas, November 19th to 21. Yeah, Hyenas. That's totally classy name for a... Then I'll be at the West Palm Beach Improv November 27th through 29 and a place called 88 Broadway, which I don't believe exists, in Urbana, Illinois on December 5th. Thanks a lot for coming and
listening,
you guys.
Thank you.
Ricky Gervais is a shithead.
Shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, cause Doug loves